Chapter 32. Police riot, dead rabbits riot, bread riot. Creation of the Metropolitan District. Collision between Mayor Woods Police and the Metropolitan Police. 7th Regiment called out. Dead rabbits riot. Severe fight between the Roach Guards and dead rabbits. Police driven back. Barricades erected. Military called out. Killed and wounded. Bread riot. Financial distress. The year 1857 was a remarkable one in the history of New York City, and indeed of the whole country. The year previous had been characterized by intense political excitement, for the presidential campaign had been carried on as a sectional fight, or a war between the upholders and enemies of the institution of slavery as it existed at the South. Pennsylvania alone by her vote defeated the anti-slavery party, and the South, seeing the danger that threatened it, had already begun to prepare for that tremendous struggle that afterwards tested to the utmost the resources and strength of the North. While a financial storm overwhelmed the entire country in disaster, to these were added local causes, which affected New York City particularly, and made it a year of uncommon disturbance. The Republican Party, being largely in the ascendant in the state, determined to revolutionize the municipal government and place the Democratic city partially under Republican rule. Many bills were passed during the session of legislature, peculiarly obnoxious to the city authorities, but that which excited the most bitter opposition was called the Metropolitan Police Act, by which the counties of New York, Kings, Westchester, and Richmond were made one police district, to be controlled by a board of commissioners, consisting of 5 members appointed by the governor and senate, and to hold office for 5 years. This board, having organized, proceeded to create a police department. Mayor Wood denied the constitutionality of the act, and retained the old police, so that there were 2 police departments existing at the same time in the city. The mayor resorted to all kinds of legal measures to defeat the action of the board, and the question was finally referred to the Court of Appeals for decision. In the meantime, the death of a street commissioner left a vacancy to be filled. Governor King, acting under the recent law, appointed Daniel D. Conover to fill it, while the mayor appointed Charles Devlin. A 3rd claimant for the place appeared in the deputy, who asserted his right to act until the decision of the Court of Appeals was rendered. Conover had no idea of waiting for this, and proceeded to assume the duties of his office. The mayor, of course, resisted, and so Conover got out a warrant from the recorder to arrest the former on the charge of inciting a riot, and another on the charge of personal violence. Armed with these papers, and backed by 50 of the new policemen, he proceeded to the city hall. The mayor, aware of the movement, had packed the building with his own police, who refused him admittance. The new police attempted to force an entrance, when a fight followed, in which 12 policemen were severely injured. While things were in this critical condition, the 7th Regiment passed down Broadway on its way to the boat for Boston, whither it was going to receive an ovation. A request for its interference was promptly granted, and marching into the park they quickly quelled the riot, and the writs were served on the mayor. Intense excitement followed, and so great was the fear of a terrible outbreak, that 9 regiments were put under arms, ready to march at a moment's notice. But on the 1st of July the Court of Appeals decided the act to be constitutional, and the disturbance ended. But of course, while this strife was going on between the police, but little was done to arrest disorder in the city. The lawless became emboldened, and in the evening before the 4th of July a disturbance began, which for a time threatened the most serious consequences. Dead rabbits riot. The origin of the term "eat rabbits," which became so well known this year from being identified with a serious riot, is not certainly known. It is said that an organization known as the Roach Guards, called after a liquor dealer by that name, became split into two factions, and in one of their stormy meetings someone threw a dead rabbit into the room, and one party suddenly proposed to assume the name. These two factions became bitterly hostile to each other, and on the day before the 4th of July came in collision, but finally separated without doing much damage. They were mostly young men, some of them being mere boys. The next day, the fight was renewed at Noe's, 40 and 42 Bowery Street, and clubs, stones, and even pistols were freely used. The dead rabbits were beaten and retired, yelling and firing revolvers in the air, and attacking everybody that came in their way. Their uniform was a blue stripe on their pantaloons, while that of the Roach Guards was a red stripe. People in the neighborhood were frightened, and fastened their doors and windows. No serious damage was done, however. About 10 o'clock, a policeman in Worth Street, while endeavoring to clear the sidewalk, was knocked down and severely beaten. At length, breaking away from his assailants, he hastened to the central office in White Street, and reported the state of things. A squad of police was immediately dispatched to arrest the ringleaders. On reaching Center Street they found a desperate fight going on, and immediately rushed in, to put a stop to it. The belligerents at once made common cause against them. A bloody hand-to-hand conflict followed, but the police at length forced the mob to retreat. The latter, however, did not give up the contest, but mounting to the upper stories and roofs of the tenement houses, rained down clubs and stones so fiercely that the police were driven off with only two prisoners. Comparative quiet was now restored, though the excitement spread in every direction. It lasted, however, only an hour or two, when suddenly a loud yell was heard near the tombs, accompanied with the report of firearms, and crowds of people came pouring down Baxter and Leonard streets, to get out of the way of bullets. Some wounded men were carried by, and the utmost terror and confusion prevailed. The air was filled with flying missiles and oaths, and shouts of defiance. Now the dead rabbits would drive their foes before them, and again be driven back. The bloody fight thus swayed backwards and forwards through the narrow streets for a long time. At length 25 Metropolitan Police appeared on the scene, while 50 more were held in reserve. Though assailed at every step with clubs and stones, they marched steadily on, clearing the crowd as they advanced, and forcing the dead rabbits into the houses, whither they followed them, mounting even to the roof, and clubbing them at every step. After clearing the houses, they resumed their march, when they were again attacked by the increasing crowd, many of them armed with muskets and pistols. Barricades were now erected, behind which the mob rallied, and the contest assumed the aspect of a regular battle. The notorious Captain Rinders came on the ground, between 6 and 7 o'clock, and attempted to restore quiet. Not succeeding, however, he repaired to the office of the police commissioners, and told Commissioner Draper, if he had not police force enough to disperse the mob, he should call out the military. The latter replied, that he had made a requisition on Major General Sanford, for 3 regiments. And that they would soon be on the ground. But it was 9 o'clock, before they made their appearance. The police then formed in 2 bodies of 75 men each, and supported, one by the 71st Regiment, and the other by the 8th, marched down White and Worth streets. This formidable display of force overawed the rioters, and they fled in every direction. This ended the riot, although the military were kept on duty during the night. At times, the fight was close and deadly, and it was reported that 8 were killed, and some 30 wounded. Bread riot. In the autumn, there came a financial crisis that was so widespread and disastrous that the lower classes suffered for want of food. Banks suspended specie payment, manufactories were forced to stop work, and paralysis fell on the whole industry of the nation. It was estimated that 10,000 persons were thrown out of employment. These soon used up their earnings, and destitution and suffering of course followed. Their condition grew worse as cold weather came on, and many actually died of starvation. At length they became goaded to desperation, and determined to help themselves to food. Gaunt men and women, clad in tatters, gathered in the park, and that most fearful of all cries, when raised by a mob, bread, arose on every side. Propositions were made to break open the stores, and get what they needed. Flour was hoarded up in them, because so little could be got on from the west. The granaries there were groaning with provisions, but there was no money to pay for the transportation. There was money east, but kept locked up in fear. As this became known to the mob, their exasperation increased. To know that there were both food enough and money enough, while they were starving to death, was enough to drive them mad, and there were ominous mutterings. Fortunately, the authorities saw in time the threatened danger, and warded it off. A great many were set to work on the Central Park and other public works, while soup houses were opened throughout the city, and private associations formed to relieve the suffering, and the winter passed without any outbreak, though more than 5,000 business houses in the country failed, with liabilities reaching $300 million. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.